Welcome to another episode of the 412 podcast, a podcast from FBC Mustang in Mustang, Oklahoma. This is a podcast where we go behind the scenes as we work to equip the saints for the work of the ministry based on Ephesians 4:12. We want to welcome you to the show. My name is Jeremy Davis. I'm the associate pastor here. And today on our episode, we are going to be talking about the Shepherd's Conference. It took place March 6th through 8th of this last month. And it is something that we make an annual trek to as pastors every year, it's a great time. We are encouraged, we are challenged, we grow, we learn, and we also have a lot of fun while we're there. It's always something that we look forward to because it gets us excited and ready to come back to Mustang and continue to do ministry and to work hard to serve here. And it was another great year. Today on the show, we have some of our pastoral staff. We have Michael Staten, our senior pastor, youth pastor Joey Snodgrass, and our worship pastor, John Brewer. Guys, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah, glad to be here. Thanks for having
us. Thank you very much.
Okay, for this year, the theme was Truth Triumphs. And I thought for this podcast, for this year, we would just simply ask a few questions, kind of go around the table. And let each one of us answer a few thoughts. The three questions will be, what is something that we did expect from the conference? What's something we didn't expect? And what was our biggest takeaway? And then maybe if we get to it at the end of the show, we'll maybe give some input on our favorite meals. So if it's okay with you guys, I'll go ahead and just give my thoughts real quick before we jump in any further. So for me, something that I did expect is anytime you go to the campus at Grace Community there, the hospitality is always just incredible. It's a phenomenal campus. They do a great job of making it look nice. Just some of the decor and stuff that go on, just to kind of accent the theme of the conference. It's never anything over the top necessarily, but it always looks really nice. They communicate well through just a few banners and graphics and things like that. But the hospitality staff that is there and the people that are volunteering to help work that event, they are just absolutely incredible. And it always challenges me to want to make sure that we are a church that's doing that as well, and doing that for other people. And I think in a lot of ways we do that. I know we're striving towards those things, but it's always such an encouragement. Every time I've been on the campus, I always walk away just so impressed by, you know, how well we're taken care of while we're there, and just the heart and the genuineness of their hospitality while we're there on campus. It's always a great time, and a big part of that is because of that hospitality. And also for me, something that I did not expect is, and this may be odd, I don't mean any disrespect towards the 2023 conference, but this year to me just felt incrementally better. I felt like it was just a better conference all the way around. And perhaps it's because you know, it's not my first one anymore, or it's you know, I've aged a year, or who knows what the reason is necessarily, because I can't quite even put my finger on it. But I just really enjoyed this year to just a whole degree more than last year's, and I liked last year's a lot. But this year was just great from the preaching and the breakouts and just the amenities there on campus and all the way around. I just found myself really enjoying my time there, just feeling very relaxed and being able to sit back and just learn and grow and be encouraged. It was great. And then for maybe the biggest takeaway, the biggest impact for me, and I know we probably all have a consensus on what the best sermon was while we were there, but one that stuck out for me kind of uniquely was Austin Duncan's sermon on truth triumphing through pastoring. And he went to Hebrews 13, verses 7 through 17, and he talked about how Rome had made the church look small at this point in time, and that they were at a critical point in church history, that they were threatened in a lot of external ways. A lot of things were coming towards them, but that perhaps the greatest threat to the church was their own faith. And then he began to kind of just walk through some things for pastors and really just continue to challenge us to lead well, to teach well, and to genuinely follow Christ in all things. And it just reminded me of the role of a pastor in the church. It reminded me of my own role and some of the tasks and the things that I'm responsible for here at First Mustang. And just all around, it was just a message that just really encouraged me. And it's just one that just hit kind of perfectly for me, and was just really helpful and beneficial in a lot of ways. And I could probably spend several hours just talking about it and some of the ramifications of that. But those were kind of mine, what kind of hit me. Okay, so Joey, we'll go to you next. So that first question, what was something that you did expect from Shepherd's Conference?
Yeah, for me, this was my fifth year being there, I think. And so I've come to expect just solid teaching and passionate preaching. And, you know, I look forward to sitting under the teaching of the Word any chance I get, especially when it's world-class preachers like we get at Shepherd's Conference. And so that was something I was expecting and was just thankful for it. And, you know, I always learn something about preaching, learn a lot about preaching while I'm there. And ultimately, I'm there just to be fed and to worship. But it is instructive as well, just seeing good examples held up in front of us.
Yeah, absolutely. So anything you didn't expect that happened this year?
Wasn't expecting the rain.
Yeah.
Rained a lot on us, which is rare for Southern California from what I hear. But rained all day one of the days, and so that wasn't a blast. But
Yeah. I had there was a guy from Poland I met while we were there, and he asked me, you know, is this normal for the U.S. to get rain like this? And it just reminded me of how large our country is compared to a lot of those European countries. I told him I have no idea. California is like another country for me. Yeah. So I'm also international.
Yeah. Like five Polands away from.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So what was the biggest takeaway for you from Shepherd's Conference this year?
Yeah. We had talked kind of each night as the sermons after the sermons were happening, just as kind of a recap what our favorites were. And I think there's kind of a consensus on what our favorite sermon was. It was from John Piper mm-hmm. on Providence, which he's written extensively about that. So no shock that he had a lot to say, but I was just humbled by how he handled himself and handled that topic. When we talk about Providence, there's a lot of difficulty that comes up just with trials that have taken place in our lives and challenging things. You know, you think of Hitler, all the atrocities of World War II.
Yeah.
How does God's providence work with that? And typically when I hear someone talk about providence, they kind of work their way towards some of the more difficult topics like that
mm-hmm.
and start with the kinder side of God's providence. But Piper just head on started talking about, you know, people losing their children
yep.
and just all the worst sides of God's providence that would present us the most problems.
Mm-hmm.
And he took us to the cross pretty quickly and just took us to Acts 2.23, Acts 4.28, where Acts 2.23 says that Christ was delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. And then Acts 4 says that Herod and Pontius Pilate and evil men were gathered together against Jesus Christ to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place.
Yeah.
And he said, if this providence of God is so present in the worst event that's ever taken place in human history, the death of the innocent Son of God, then what can't this apply to?
Mm-hmm.
If God's providence was ruling over this most wicked act, then we can trust him even on our darkest days, knowing that he is in control.
Yeah.
So I love the way he handled that and just confronted the issues head on and didn't beat around the bush, and it was very biblical and humbling.
Yeah, it was excellent. It was, I think we can all agree. That was hands down the best message there. It was really good. It was super helpful. He did it, presented it well, preached well, but then it was just so accurate at the same time. Mm-hmm. Very, very helpful for all of us. All right, next we'll go over to John. John, now, okay, so I mentioned that I've been on campus before. I've been on campus a couple times. This was my second Shepherd's Conference. Joey just said this is his fifth. John, this is your very first Shepherd's Conference.
Yes, sir.
So maybe a little bit of a different perspective. And so, especially for this first question, maybe there's not as much that you knew to expect. But what was something you did expect going in?
I expected there to be a lot of preaching.
Yeah.
And that was true. I expected there to be some running.
Okay.
As people clamored for their spots.
Also true.
And I may have ran once. I said that I was not going to.
Yeah.
It was a brisk walk.
Yeah.
But yeah. I had a good path, and we got some good seats.
We got some great seats.
So those were a couple of things. And then I expected there to be tons of people.
Yeah.
But honestly, the way that they handled the crowds was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
For how, you know, it's not a small campus, but it is a small campus when you have 5,000 people.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they handled it incredibly well, better than a lot of large conferences I've seen. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I think that's one of those things about this conference in general is people kind of think, oh, Grace Community Church, big, grand, you know, everything. But it's actually not nearly as big and grand as one might expect. Okay, so what was something you did not expect?
I think for me, I did not expect it to be so applicable to anybody that comes, regardless of if you're a lay person or if you were like me, not a main teaching pastor of our church. I thought it was going to be more geared towards preachers and teachers.
Yeah.
But I was just so encouraged just to come back and be more excellent in my own area of ministry, more engaged with making the word the forefront of what we do. So I didn't expect that. I thought I was going to be kind of a passive, you know, bystander or watcher of observer of what was going on that was mainly geared towards preachers. But it was so well put together that it applies to anybody that comes.
Yeah.
So that took me by surprise, I think.
Yeah. And one note I should include in that. I know what you mean when you say you're not a main teaching pastor, as in that's not necessarily one of your main functions and roles. But for those of you that don't know, John is constantly teaching in his ministry. And that's one thing when I'm talking to new members and people that are interested. You know, people should go and check out choir because, yes, you sing a lot, but there's also a lot of fellowship. There's a lot of, you know, sharing prayer requests and needs with one another. And John always does a great job of teaching during rehearsal. And that's what he does on Sunday mornings. He does a lot of teaching as he's leading the music. And so while yes, I know what you mean as far as like job responsibilities on paper, teaching is not necessarily one of the highest ones or most time consuming for you, but you still do a lot of teaching.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Well, I just feel like people should know that. Okay, so what was the biggest takeaway for you this year?
Man, there were several. I'm still learning a lot of these guys. Is it Nathan Buzenitz?
Mm-hmm.
Is that his name? He just had an incredible sermon on truth triumphs through pardon.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just putting the gospel on display.
Yeah.
And for me, it was just so refreshing. And for just a personal reset on just being so thankful for all that the gospel brings for us as believers.
Yeah.
So I was really encouraged by that sermon. But for practically speaking, for me as a worship pastor, Bob Coughlin was the worship leader there, and if you guys don't know Bob, he's an author, worship pastor, songwriter, all through Sovereign Grace Ministries, and I've spent time with him before on a week-long, more intimate setting and learned a lot from him, but just getting to watch him in action in that setting was really helpful for me, especially for the way that he set up songs. Or made some transitions. They were just so word saturated and well thought out. They were not just random, you know, thoughts from him. They were very succinct and pointed, and just an economy of words, you know. And that was for me such a it was challenging to me, you know, to go back and say, okay, how can I make what I do a little bit better and sharper? But just also, and they were so encouraging to me in the moment as a believer. And I was like, man, I want that to be what I do here for our people. And so I think for as far as just takeaways and things that I put into practice immediately coming back and trying to do better, that'd be one of them.
Yeah. And, I mean, formerly I was a worship pastor at some previous churches. And so the music time is always something that's very impactful for me, whether there or here or wherever I'm at, it's always something I'm paying a lot of attention to and something that means a lot to me. And, the music is pretty incredible, while we're there. And what I think what's amazing about it, you said it was word saturated. That's a great way to describe it, because it's just Bob and a piano. Like, you would think that there's like a band or like some big performance kind of thing going on at a conference like this, but there's really not. With the exception of the last session where they have their choir and orchestra there playing, there's not like a big band that comes in and does a bunch of stuff. It's really instrumentally fairly simple. Yeah. Although he's playing some complex stuff on the piano and doing some incredible things there. Right. It's just him and the piano. And it's predominantly voices, and there's a lot of attention on the lyric that we're singing, the word that's there. And I'm very grateful
for
that.
The lyric that's singing and just the congregation participation.
Yeah.
And you can highlight congregation participation, whether it's just a piano or full orchestra, mm-hmm. you know.
Yep.
But when he led, the emphasis and focus was all on the congregation, as it should be, and that's always powerful when that happens.
Yeah. Okay, so last we'll go to Michael, our senior pastor. So Michael, for you, what is something going to Shepherd's Conference? And I know you've gone many years now, but what is something for you that you did expect going in?
Well, what I do expect is to be encouraged by friends that are there that I only get to see once a year. Mm-hmm. When I first started going, I've been, I don't know, 21 or 22 times. I started going, I think, in 2002, and there were a couple of times I was out of the country on mission trips, and so I didn't go. But otherwise, besides the COVID year, they didn't have it in 21. Mm-hmm. I've been 20 or 21 times probably. When I first started going, I didn't know anybody. I was just there for the teaching and the worship, the singing, which is still obviously something I love. But one thing that's really encouraging to me now is just the friendships I have, from guys that I went to seminary with out there, mm-hmm. in my doctoral program, to students that I've worked with as I now get to work to oversee some of the students in their preaching mentorship. And so I get to see a lot of people that I know that wasn't the case for me years ago. And so I always go enjoying the teaching for sure, but also it's a time to just pick up on friendships that I've been able to establish. That's always a blessing.
Yeah, that's great. So anything that you didn't expect?
Yes, I did not expect John Brewer to be there.
Yeah.
I did not expect John to go. I've tried to get him to go for years, and he's always wanted to go, but the problem is just the timing of it. He has a worship pastor's conference he often goes to that's mm-hmm. Right before Shepherd's. And then generally he's leading our Passion student choir mission trip on spring break. And so the calendar is just never advantageous for him to go. But I ask him every year and try to talk him into going. I've tried to encourage him. I've tried to guilt him. I've tried everything. And finally this year he went. And so I did not expect him to be there, but I was really glad that he did. I was glad he got to go and be with us.
So the answer to that, Jeremy, is really twofold. One was the mention of John Piper, who's one of my favorites, and I knew he was going to be there. And then second, the absence of Jeff LaDuke. So the combination of both of those has just pushed me over the edge. So I appreciated Michael's peer pressure, but Piper being there and Jeff not being there was too much for me to handle. So
yeah, we missed Jeff being there this year. Yeah.
I love Jeff.
Okay, so for you, what was the biggest takeaway for you this year?
Yeah, I think this is something that probably hits me every year, but just the blessing that we have here at this church to be a part of a staff that's able to talk and enjoy fellowship, enjoy Bible conversations, enjoy theological conversations. So many people that go to Shepherd's Conference, people who serve all around the world, all around our nation, so many of them feel alone. They feel like they're on an island. And we have the privilege here of in a small way doing every Monday morning part of what I love at Shepherd's Conference, which is just gathering with like-minded people to talk about the Lord and talk about the Bible. Mm-hmm. And for me, when I see how many people are there, that it's just Shepherd's Conference is just a lifeline for them. It's just a reminder that they're not alone. It makes me grateful that here I'm never alone. Surrounded not only by staff members, but also church leaders and church members who love the things that we love, care about the things that we care about. And it just makes me grateful that while I love what happens there and the fellowship and the encouragement that happens, I'm grateful. I'm not in the place where I have to wait 51 weeks out of the year to have conversations about things that matter to me.
Right.
We get a chance to do it every week. So it just makes me grateful for what the Lord's given to us.
Yeah, and I think around this table we can all agree that we're so grateful for your leadership and you know, making room in the schedule and making sure that you know, this and other conferences are things that we're able to be a part of. So we're very grateful for that as fellow pastors and staff with you. We're very grateful for that.
Well, it's really important because, you know, there are things that you learn at a good conference that's not just something you can listen to on the download.
Mm-hmm.
The teaching you can watch live stream. The teaching you can go back and listen to. But there are conversations that happen on the way home from hearing sermons all day that you can't replicate.
Right.
There are casual conversations at a restaurant for dinner where you're talking about what do we think about this? How do we practice this? How can we lead our church to do this better? There are things you see in you know, it's been mentioned hospitality that we all enjoy there at the conference. We're able to sit around together at the conference and say, how can we take what we've learned here and experienced here and help our church do that even better for the sake of being a blessing to people coming to our church? And so there's a lot of teaching that happens at a conference that's good, but one of the reasons why I really believe in the value of all of us going and attending, not just watching the videos later, is because there are other things you learn and see and conversations you have that I think sharpen us and hopefully help us to be better leaders for our own people and serve them. So when we're going on the conference, yes, it's fun, and yes, there's laughs, and yes, there's all kinds of joy from it. But ultimately, it still is a way to help us be better servants and better leaders for our people here.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's really great insight. Did you have a favorite restaurant or a meal that you ate while you were there?
Mm. I mean, favorite restaurants just got to be In-N-Out. I know you and John are going to get on me for that, but Michael and I love In-N-Out, so it's always good to be there. But favorite single meal would be Outback when we went, whatever night that was.
Yeah.
You know, just if I had to pick one meal, that was probably it.
Yeah, very good.
It was the one that you and I went to like the first night that we got there, primarily because we knew that Michael and Joey wouldn't eat it.
I agree.
And it was, I don't even remember, it was Asian flair of sorts.
Something like sushi.
Wok, and,
yeah,
you know, type deal.
Yeah.
But we had to like hike a mountain to get there.
Yes, we did,
It wasn't a literal mountain, but maybe the second highest one in Oklahoma if it were here.
Yes.
It's about a 30-foot median.
Yes.
Straight up.
Straight up, yeah.
Yeah. So we had to work to get there, and it was good.
Yeah, it was worth it.
It was worth it,
yeah.
And it was different than
it
anything
was.
Else we ate all week. So.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really liked, I tried to find a place with good salads, a lot of fruit. I couldn't find them, and so like Joey said, we kind of got stuck with In-N-Out because I couldn't find a good health place, which I would always prefer to go to, so... Yeah, John, you know, John started trying to kind of grease the wheel before he even left about how many times would we go to In-N-Out and how could we, you know, how could he avoid that? You know, he's never been to the conference. He's always already trying to dictate the eating schedule. And
that's right.
So, yeah, it worked out good that Joey and I got there early. We were able to get In-N-Out that night knowing that the next day we would all go to In-N-Out. It'd be your first.
Yeah,
so you couldn't really complain about that.
Yep.
And then the last night, of course, we'd go there because it's our last night.
Of course.
And so, that's just the way it worked out.
Very good. Okay, well, that is that's a good wrap-up of our Shepherd's Conference 2024. It was a great trip, and we had a lot of fun while we were there. I appreciate all of you guys for coming on, being a part of the show, and helping us out today. For you, listener, we just want to say thank you for tuning in once again for the 412 Podcast. We're so glad that you choose to spend this time with us. We want to say thank you to Samuel Campos, our producer. And there is more work that goes into this and into these episodes than people realize. So we're always very grateful for him. And we're so grateful for our church, First Baptist Church of Mustang, for making ministries possible and allowing us to be your pastors and shepherd and lead you and being a part of our lives and supporting us as we try to encourage and push you forward as well. It's a great joy to get to serve and be a part of this church. We're all so grateful for it. So thank you once again for tuning in. If you ever want to find out more about FBC Mustang, go to fbcmustang.org. We will see you next time here on the 412 Podcast.